We read this morning in our confession of faith from Isaiah 65. And as Jim Curtis said, kind of, and you know, we always live in the idea of the anticipation of the next life, the anticipation of Christ returning, of bringing all things in the new creation. And so I did that this morning in anticipation of tonight. So we will have at least read it together. We will have seen it. We know it's coming in some ways. And you should feel the connection already to this morning's passage. But I hopefully will bring all that to you tonight. So let me read for us Isaiah 65, these verses 17 through 25. I'm sure these are very familiar in some ways, at least portions of them. Let's hear the word of the Lord. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lived but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, this passage, what you say here is, much of it is beyond our complete understanding, and yet you've delivered it to your people in many ways, probably to stretch our hearts and our minds to try to grasp in some way in this life what the next life will be like. We pray tonight as we look at this, just for a few short minutes, that you would illumine our hearts, help us to love these things, help us to look forward to when we are truly in that final promised land and we see our Savior's face. Lord, be with us tonight in your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we saw a few things this morning, especially with the Pharisees, about how they had put too much emphasis on this life, how they had really focused a lot on this life. We saw how it was important for them to be hearing the law and the prophets. They weren't listening to what God's word is doing. And so for tonight, I really wanted to have us listen to God's word in that context, pointing us to that future, and also to get our minds off of this life in some measure. And we'll see, this does have import for today as well. And I was thinking about Lazarus and how where he ends up, he's at the bosom of Abraham. He's enjoying all those wonderful blessings, and you've got the rich man obviously far off from all of those. And I was thinking of all the covenantal blessings that we have in Christ. Those of us who know the Lord by faith, have been made alive by his mighty work of the Spirit, all of these promises are for us. And I was thinking how this is such an important passage. You know, when you visit someone in the hospital, difficulty or whatever it is, we might take Psalm 23, great psalm. We might take a Psalm 121. We might take various things. This is a passage to read to somebody, to point their hearts from the difficulty they're experiencing, perhaps even death that is imminent, or the whatever's coming their way. This passage would be so soothing, and we put our hearts and our minds to it. And I hope that happens tonight. And so we need to hear the law and the prophets, and tonight we're going to hear the prophet Isaiah. Now, you know this, but I'm going to say it. The language he uses doesn't necessarily mean it's not literal for that time period, right? This is metaphorical language, and you'll see why that's the case soon. But it's trying to use language that we know of today to convey something that's beyond our understanding, as the Bible often does. And so let's begin in verse 17. This is sort of an opening statement that he transitions from what came before and into this. It says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." Now think about how the resurrection connects to this. Christ, in his resurrection, he's the first fruits of the new creation. He is the new creation. He's ushering in. He's creating the new heavens and the new earth in that sense. And so that's where my mind was as far as how to connect this to the resurrection from this morning. You're going to see more of that in a second. But this is a fairly strong statement about the former things. The former things being, you know, I said this morning, today. And really thinking of the difficulties of today. We sang about some of them. Sorrow, pain, hurt, sin, death. He says they're not going to be remembered or come to mind. Now, I don't know fully what to do with that. Meaning, in heaven, do we not remember anything? It's hard to fully grasp what's going on there. But I said something like this morning, and I think this is really close to what Paul is getting at when he talks about the comparison of the glory that's coming compared to the suffering of this life. So that the former things, I said this morning, it's not worth a memory. It's not worth even keeping in your head or in your heart compared to everything that's coming. And while it's kind of hard to figure out all that's coming here, it seems there's a welcomed amnesia to the former things. We'll actually be glad we can't remember whatever that fully means. It's like a sci-fi show where people forget things. Well, not really sure all that means, but he does tell us what it's going to be like. We know what the former things are like. We experience that. And so this is the way I'm kind of categorizing things for tonight, is what categorizes or what characterizes our next existence. And the first thing he says is it's characterized by joy. By joy. Look at verses 18 and 19. "But be glad and rejoice," notice this, "forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness." It's like they embody joy. They embody gladness. Verse 19, "I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress." How would you... Okay, you have to do this. What is pure joy? What would you say is just pure joy? It's hard, you know, in this life, because we don't fully grasp, you know, what pure joy is there. Birth of a child? Forgiveness of sins? I love it. Your wife saying, "I do," right? Saying she will marry you. What is it, you know, the Steelers winning the Super Bowl? Okay, the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl. Sorry. Okay, got it. But even the joy that we could come up with today, it's disrupted. It gets disrupted. It's fleeting in some sense, right? The happiness, the things we sort of experience. There, the joy is forever. It's lasting. It's full. But did you notice that it says that the Lord will rejoice? There's like this antiphonal joy. He creates us for joy, gives us joy, and then it says, we are a joy to him. He rejoices in us. That's overwhelming. We've talked about some of that. But think about this. We don't know what triune, you know, eternal triune God joy is like, but we share in it, whatever that is. And then when he says there's no sound, you know, there's not going to be any sound of weeping or cry of distress. Just, I wish that hadn't happened because I was about to say, now just imagine silence for a minute. A joyful silence. No crying, no weeping. It'd be awesome right now if like a child cried out. Be good timing for that. It won't happen there. No pain. Think of this. No physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual pain. It's all gone. It's trying to think of like what would be sort of a before and after. And recently I had a conversation with somebody talking about having to have an MRI. Those of you that have had an MRI, they put you into this tube, or that you haven't, they put you in a tube. It's terribly too small for a human being. And they send air through there to make you feel more comfortable. And then they give you headphones. And while you're in there, you know, the thing is about this close to you. Yeah, does that sound right? And then what happens? I mean, just, it is chaos in there. It doesn't matter what they give you as headphones. It doesn't matter what they give you to listen to. It's terrible. Mine was pretty short. It was 25 minutes. But that's sort of like the former things. Uncomfortable, don't move. Here comes a bunch of sounds to annoy you and almost freak you out psychologically. You feel like you're going to have a nervous breakdown, you know, depending on who you are. When they wheel you out, all you want to do is just go, oh. And you just want your whole body to stretch because you're like, I haven't been able to do this. It's something like that. But it's so much more, right? It's hard to fully grasp. I was in an MRI, chaos with sounds, and now I'm free. There's something about that, the joy that we're going to experience. It's not just joy, though. It's also characterized by life. Look at verse 20. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. Remember, metaphorical language, this isn't talking about like in the new heavens and earth that there's actually death. It's actually, it's saying the opposite. There is no death. There is no sin. And the mention of a sinner, this hypothetical sinner that might be there, this 100-year-old sinner, he's going to be accursed. It's sort of saying something like this. If we found sin, we would dispose of it. We would get rid of it. It would not last. It would not be there. But that's impossible. Because death is impossible here. Sin has been eradicated. It won't be there. So life. What's it like to have fullness of life? Ever not been sore? Like to have like just bodily fullness. You know, you're the strongest body you can imagine. Some of you are thinking it's the one you've got. No, it's not true. The strongest body you have in multiple ways. The strongest mind you have. The clearest thinking you've ever thought. Nothing to disrupt your thoughts. The strongest soul. It's mind, body, and soul. It's totality of life in Him. Just, I mean, that's why the physical, that's why using the physical to describe it is so good. No soreness. Not even a sense. How about this? No frustration. What if you were never frustrated ever again? How many times have you been frustrated today? Just putting your pants on, putting your socks on. Your children are frustrating. Friends are frustrating. Traffic's frustrating. There is zero frustration. Nothing to bother you there at all. Fullness of, how about this? No fear. There's no fear. We live under a sentence of death right now. All of us will face death. There won't even be a possibility of it, and there's no fear of it. There's no fear of frustration coming in. I don't want to be frustrated. You don't even have to worry about that. None of that. What's that like? This is what he's describing to us. That's what where he wants our hearts. It's not just joy. It's not just life. It's also characterized by safety and provision. And this is where you're going to begin to see the Abrahamic promises actually come front and center. Look at verse 21 and 22. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree, meaning long time, shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. The promises, especially the Abrahamic promises, come in really three main promises: land, offspring, and the presence of God. And the first one here is really kind of about land. Safety in this land. No chance it'll ever be taken. Those of you that have homes, you know that they deteriorate, they decay, and you have to take care of them. I was reminded of this with Jim Curtis. Their air conditioning has not been working basically since they've been there. They had to get a new one. Learned. Houses fall apart. For Israel, they were always afraid of enemies coming in. They were always afraid of their sin kicking them out of the land. Our houses can be destroyed by wind, fire, anything. Here, pure safety. And did you notice there's the undoing of the curse? You're going to enjoy the labors of your hands. The curse, part of the curse, was that toil, work of the ground would be hard, life would be difficult. No more. You're actually just going to enjoy work. How many of you don't enjoy work sometimes? That won't ever happen here. Everybody's pleasant that you have to deal with. Nothing to frustrate you. I told you I've done some landscaping. Some of the plants I have are dying. That's irritating. I'm going to have to get some feedback. It won't happen there. Infestation won't happen. There's also a promise of fruitfulness here in your work. Look at verse 23. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. You can see the Abrahamic promise of offspring. And this is, there's multiple angles here. Your labor won't be in vain, but get this, you won't have children that you bear for calamity. Children don't get sick there. You don't lose children. We have a situation in our church right now. We've had situations in our church where children have been sick. They have died. It doesn't happen there. It's all gone. No more. They're the blessed of the Lord. Children don't go away from the Lord. They're all the blessed of the Lord. This is what characterizes where we're headed. Beautiful. And then the last one is that it's characterized by his presence and nearness. Look at 24. Can you imagine this? This is what your children want from you. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. What is that even like? Notice, it's before they say anything, I know, and I'm there. I'm already answering them. And while they're still speaking, I'm going to hear them. And hear there doesn't just mean hear, I'm responding to them. I've already responded. That's how close they are. Think of Lazarus. He's in the bosom of Abraham. All those promises. He's in the Lord. So close. God's presence, you know, this tells you that prayer as we know it ends in the new heavens, new earth. It's a different experience. How many of you pray, feel like it doesn't go through the roof, feel like it never gets answered, nobody's listening? Here he's saying, nothing will disrupt that. I'm with you all the time. Just not an issue. And there's this harmony that comes with this oneness, and that's characterized in 25. This ends it. It says, the wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. Creation's going to be, you know, in harmony. And there's a reminder of the curse there that the serpent will eat dust. That's what it says in Genesis. Reminder that, and that's never going to happen again because they won't be allowed to destroy. There's not even a concern of it ever going back to the old ways. It can't. Now, one of the most important things about this whole thing is the last three words, says the Lord. What did we talk about this morning? Hearing the word of God. The Lord has said this to us as a promise to those who know him by grace through faith. It can't change. It's not going to be revoked. It's going to be even more glorious than what we can sort of say and what we're reading. Now, one of the things about this that I have found fascinating in thinking about this in the context of resurrection, in 1 Corinthians 15, and we did it as a benediction today. Some of you might have noticed it. I'm just going to read this part of the benediction to you. Listen to what Paul says at the end of chapter 15. People that know chapter 15, what's it about? It's about the resurrection, right? Then he says, therefore, after he says, death, you know, where's your victory? Where's your sting? It's not going to happen. People will rise from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Notice this, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Now, did you notice verse 23? They shall not labor in vain. I wonder if Paul has this passage in mind in some way. Sort of a hint to us. You know, the question would be, how can Paul promise you that your work in the Lord right now is not in vain? Because of the resurrection, right? Because all the promises from Isaiah 65 are true. And what this means is, everything we do right now means something. See, sometimes we might hear discussion of, get your mind on the future. It doesn't mean that, oh, it doesn't, you know, the future, we just think that way until we die. No. Thinking of eternity, thinking of what, dwelling on what's going on here in Isaiah 65 impacts everything we do right now because we know it means something because God has made these promises because God has raised Jesus from the dead. And I want to talk about that tonight. Today means something. We're not to live like the rich man. We're to live as those who have eternity in view, and that should affect how we live with each other, how we live with our neighbors, and all the various things that we can think about. So let me pray, and then we can do some of that. Our Heavenly Father, we are blown away by a passage like this. It's hard to take it all in. It's hard for our minds even to think of what really is ahead for those you have plucked out of this earth, really plucked out of the fire and saved and blessed. Lord, may we see as we read this passage really what true blessedness is and the blessings you pour out on us in Christ. And may you guide us now in our time together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.